Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. We've got a good show for you today. Coming up later on in the program, a review of the new comedy Due Date, starring Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis. But right now, on the musical portion of the program, we're spotlighting film music from the 1990s. More specifically, we're spotlighting action music from the 1990s. Even more specifically, action music written between the mid to late 1990s. And even more specifically than that, action movie music written between the mid and late 1990s by composers who were part of the Media Ventures organization. Now, Media Ventures, for those of you unfamiliar with it, organization founded by Hans Zimmer, who basically took a bunch of younger, promising composers and trained them to write music just like him, basically, which is why a number of composers who have come out of Media Ventures have been accused of basically sounding the same. But some good music, some fun music, some not-so-good music came out of Media Ventures. The company still exists, sort of, kinda. It's now called Remote Control. Hans Zimmer and his partner Jay Rifkin had a nasty split some years ago, and the company had to evolve and change after that. But we're focusing on the time when it was called Media Ventures, back when it was home to such fine composers, not only Mr. Zimmer, but also John Powell, Harry Gregson-William, Mark Mancina, Nick Glennie-Smith. And we're going to take a listen to some of the music these guys wrote during the 1990s, beginning with one of their earliest successful scores, music for the 1994 Michael Bay thriller Bad Boys. Take a listen and enjoy this music by Mark Mancina. We'll be right back. That's music for Bad Boys, written by Mark Mancina. Next up, one of the most popular and most imitated scores of the 1990s. This is music by Hans Zimmer, written for Tony Scott's submarine thriller Crimson Tide. Enjoy.
Thank you.
That's music by Hans Zimmer, written for the film Crimson Tide. Zimmer collaborated with Nick Glennie Smith and Harry Gregson Williams on the 1996 Michael Bay action thriller The Rock, starring Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage, providing another enjoyable score. Let's take a listen. A very engaging piece of music from The Rock by Hans Zimmer, Nick Glenny Smith, and Harry Gregson Williams. Let's move on to the same style of music, basically, applied to a much more lighthearted film. This is music from Hans Zimmer's score for the 1996 comedy action adventure Muppet Treasure Island. You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're spotlighting film music written by members of Media Ventures during the mid to late 1990s, specifically for action movies. Next up, we offer an entertaining theme for the Tony Scott thriller Enemy of the State, co-written by Trevor Rabin and Harry Gregson-Williams. Take a listen. That's music written for Enemy of the State by Trevor Rabin and Harry Gregson-Williams. The Media Ventures sound was well-suited to modern action thrillers like Enemy of the State and The Rock and Crimson Tide and so on, but many were surprised to hear it turn up in the period action movie The Man in the Iron Mask, where Nick Glennie-Smith turned to some ideas very similar to those he turned in for The Rock. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
That's music by Nick Glennie-Smith, written for The Man in the Iron Mask. One of the more popular Media Ventures scores of the 1990s was Trevor Rabin's effort for Armageddon, the big, silly Michael Bay movie starring Bruce Willis. The score's pretty enjoyable, though. Let's take a listen. Big, stirring, patriotic music by Trevor Rabin, written for the film Armageddon. One of the best composers to emerge from Media Ventures is John Powell, who these days is writing incredibly intelligent action music for the Bourne movies, films like Salt, The Italian Job, many others. Back in the 1990s, he hadn't really found his voice yet as a composer, but he was still doing decent stuff. Let's take a listen to some of his score for the John Woo thriller, Face Off. That's music written by John Powell for John Woo's Face Off. Finally, we move to the year 1999, and composer Trevor Rabin once again with his enjoyable theme written for Deep Blue Sea.
Thank you.
That's music written for the film Deep Blue Sea by composer Trevor Rabin. I do hope you enjoyed that. It's now time to move along to the movie review for this week, and that review is of the new film Due Date. Director Todd Phillips has been helming mainstream comedies for the past decade or so, but he rose to new heights with the unexpected mega-success of The Hangover. Phillips returns to the big screen with Due Date, a considerably more modest affair that's both darker and sweeter than its predecessor. Peter Hyman, played by Robert Downey Jr., is an architect and soon-to-be father. He's currently in Atlanta on business, but is preparing to return home to Los Angeles in order to witness the birth of his son. Alas, an unfortunate run-in with an aspiring actor named Ethan Tremblay, played by Zach Galifianakis, leads to a confrontation that puts both men on the no-fly list. For reasons too complicated to explain, Peter accepts when Ethan offers him a ride to California in a rental car. So begins a long, stress-inducing journey in which Ethan unintentionally does everything possible to make the next few days of Peter's life a living hell. I have to confess something. I still can't figure out why The Hangover was such a big deal. Maybe it's just that I didn't get around to watching it until after and during 6 months or so of endless hype about its greatness, but I didn't find its rowdy frat boy humor particularly remarkable. Sure, it had some fun moments, not to mention a very enjoyable breakout performance from Zach Galifianakis, but it hardly seemed deserving of the best comedy of the year label so frequently applied to it. Ah, well. There's a part of me that wants to tell you Due Date is a better film, because it's certainly a more mature film. Alas, despite noble intentions, much of the movie doesn't quite work. Phillips is essentially remaking John Hughes' classic road movie Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, in which uptight businessman Steve Martin has to endure the companionship of cheerfully irritating shower curtain salesman John Candy. In this film, uptight businessman Robert Downey Jr. has to endure the companionship of cheerfully irritating wannabe actor Zach Galifianakis. Some of the personality elements are different, and this film certainly has a nastier sense of humor. But the basic framework is the same, all the way down to the explosive argument scenes followed by sheepishly apologetic makeup sessions. However, there are a couple of big reasons the film doesn't work nearly as well as Hughes' beloved film. First of all, the characters are a little problematic. Robert Downey Jr. has been on a hot streak in recent years with terrific roles in films like Iron Man, Tropic Thunder, Sherlock Holmes, and Zodiac. Traditionally, he's the intelligent yet unpredictable rapid-fire loose cannon running through the story, a note he plays very well indeed. In this film, he's playing the straight man, the one trying to keep things together while someone else behaves in eccentric ways. Downey can do this sort of thing too. See his work in The Soloist, for instance. But Due Date hands him a repetitive role. Downey gets irritated, gets explosively angry, then sighs, apologizes, and starts over again. That's fine, but the script runs the character through this cycle a few too many times before the credits roll. The Galifianakis character is even more troublesome. One of the reasons you were able to empathize with Steve Martin's frustration and affection for John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is that Candy's character was so well drawn. Odds are you knew someone a lot like him. However, Ethan seems to have been invented specifically for the purposes of irritating Peter. The character's behavior is too insistently wrong-headed and over-the-top on a regular basis to be convincing. The filmmakers go so far for laughs that they lose touch with reality. Galifianakis is a gifted comic actor and does some funny things in the role, but too many scenes fail to resonate because Ethan fails to feel like a real human being. The second reason the film doesn't quite work is that it can't seem to find a way to reconcile its dark sense of humor with its warm, gooey center. We've seen plenty of recent comedies hiding warmth under raunch, including The Hangover, but some of the scenes offered in Due Date are a little harder to pull back from. Consider a scene where Peter punches a young child. The movie's going for queasy laughter, and it gets it, but it's hard to feel much sympathy for him afterwards when the movie turns sentimental. I'm not against edgy comedy, but it's tough to turn convincingly warm and cuddly after a scene like that. Likewise, there's a scene midway through the film in which Peter leaves a nasty message on his wife's answering machine. His wife's played by Michelle Monaghan. It would be a trigger for some seriously unpleasant conflict in real life, but the whole matter is smoothed over in seconds the next time the characters chat in the film. I've spent most of this review talking about due date's problems, but it really isn't that bad. The actors do valiant work despite the problems with the script, and there are a number of genuine laughs scattered throughout. Cameo appearances by Juliette Lewis, Danny McBride, Jamie Foxx, and the RZA hit just the right notes, and there are a handful of sublime self-contained moments. Unfortunately, Due Date adds up to less than the sum of its parts. It's an interesting misfire. I give it a rating of 2.5 stars out of 4. That concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. In the meantime, here's Amy Mann to take you out. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later.
The day you left and you called me bitch, I called you selfish, better pull that switch. Put my son on amphetamines. He came home crying, and there's your proof. Crying about nothing but a missing tooth. I did the right thing. You shade the truth almost every day. Phone calls in and it's gonna be okay. Are you standing, baby, under the bridge? Are you standing, baby, on Lake Street? Black marker on cardboard, little drawing of a medicine wheel. But everything that's given you still, everything that's given you still. Maybe you'll wake up in jail alone and hold the handle of the one payphone and do the right thing. Like I once tried, though I bent the truth. A $5 dent for a little lost tooth. Is it a payback in front of me?
Everything that's given you still.